Well, you just heard the story that Dia gave to the kids. And I want you to just imagine the situation that for hundreds, even thousands of years, God's people had been waiting for the promised Messiah, their deliverer, to come and to save them. They waited and they waited. They knew some of the promises from the Old Testament, ones like the one we read at the beginning from Isaiah chapter 9 that we read, which promised that one would come who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And promises like that probably conjured up images for them of how this promised child would come, perhaps in royalty or wealth, to prominent people or in a strategic place and location, maybe even near the temple in Jerusalem or perhaps in Rome itself, a place that would allow him to have maximum influence and power. And so the anticipation rises over hundreds of years as people wait, and then finally God begins to unfold his plan. So will it involve kings and queens, royalty, people of influence and power? How will God make his entrance? Through the clouds in the sky, surrounded by nobility? No, it actually starts with an old and barren woman named Elizabeth. And then it moves to a young couple named Mary and Joseph in Nazareth, a place where people said that nothing good could come from. And it ends in a measly manger. Not a majestic mansion, but a measly manger. And the question is, what does this tell us about God, that he would begin his grand plan in a tiny manger? Each Christmas, often something different stands out to me or impacts me or causes me to wrestle with who God is and how he works in the world. And this year, it has been that manger. A symbol that can become so familiar, we don't even think twice about it. It becomes a cute symbol, something for only kids to enjoy or just display in our homes or in our yards. But this manger means so much and tells us so much about who God is. So I want to explore just for the next 6 or 7 minutes the mystery of this manger tonight. In a span of 10 verses in Luke's gospel, the manger is mentioned 3 times, playing a prominent role throughout the story. And so I want to talk about those 3 mentions and these 3 things. First, I want to talk about the manger's meaning. Secondly, the modern mangers of our world. And thirdly, the manger's message. So let's begin with the manger's meaning. We heard at the end of what Dia read that Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. And the meaning here is that God does great things in small and unexpected ways. That out of the ordinary, a manger, he brings the extraordinary, a Messiah. Think of it like this. If God was going to send someone to come and change and revolutionize Canada and fulfill all his promises for his people, where would he start? Among the powerful in Ottawa? In a wealthy who's who neighborhood in Toronto or Vancouver? Maybe Victoria? No, the modern equivalent would probably be some remote town in the interior, or perhaps on a First Nations reservation somewhere in the Yukon. Somewhere no one was looking and no one expected. As I say a lot around this church when we brainstorm, that the way God works is he thinks big, but he starts small. But the meaning is more than that. It tells us that this is a humble God, a God who can actually, we can relate to, a God who doesn't just show up in places and circumstances where everything is together and perfect and running smoothly. He's not just a God for people who have it all together. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that Jesus made himself nothing, meaning he emptied himself of his privileges. He willingly relinquished his high status and all those benefits when he came to earth. And he came in this way on purpose so that you would know that he's not far from you and your circumstance. That if he was willing to be born in a manger in a small town to a poor young couple, then he's also willing to come into your situation. So let's talk about these situations, these modern mangers, if you will. The angels appear to the shepherds in the story in Luke 2. And they say to them, this will be a sign to you. And what is the sign that they've been waiting for thousands of years that God will use to introduce this great plan? This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So what are the modern signs of God breaking into forsaken places? The modern mangers. I mean, I'm sure hearing it from angels really helped, but the shepherds must have been like, a manger? Did you mean a mansion? You know, like a feeding box for animals? That's the sign? But God shows up in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. And just as he did it then, he is still doing it today. See, the manger is messy. It's not appealing. It could be easily looked over and ignored by most, but God was willing to enter into that space and that place and bring his presence through Jesus. Do you feel God could maybe never enter into the mess of your life? What are your mangers? The places you think you have to clean up first before Jesus can come and enter in. Maybe your manger is your marriage. Maybe you're here tonight, even estranged from your spouse, wondering, does God care? Maybe your manger is your feeling of insignificance and your battles with depression and anxiety, and you're wondering, can God relate? Maybe your manger is that you think you're too old and frail for God to be at work in your life, and you say, why would he want to enter into my situation? Or maybe you think you're too young and your life is just too much a wreck, too much a mess, too emotional for him to come in. I don't know what your manger is, your messy situation in life, but I do know this, that God wants to invade that place and that space. In fact, he has a knack for coming into the most forsaken and forgotten places and people. Even in this story, we find God doing extraordinary things through ordinary people, through these characters in the beginning of Luke's gospel. We have Elizabeth, who was getting on in years, the story says. And then her husband, Zechariah, describes himself as an old man, and he reaffirms to the angel Gabriel that his wife is getting on in years. Probably not like the best move by Zechariah there, but, you know, just tell the angel, hey, my wife, you know, she's really old. She's getting on in years. But God says, I don't care. I'm going to use even this situation. He also uses the young. Mary was likely just a teenager. The young, energetic, and fiery John the Baptist helps prepare the way for Jesus. See, the manger tells us that no one and nothing is beyond God's reach, that he's willing to go anywhere and to anyone. And that's part of point three, the manger's message. We follow the story in the shepherds hear about the sign, and then it says that they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So now they come face to face with this sign, that they see it with their own eyes. They're able to come close, to even touch Jesus with their hands. And it's interesting that there was no wall of light surrounding him. There's no security guards with metal detectors, checking ID to see if they're worthy to enter in to the stable to meet the King of Kings. There's no fence saying, keep back, Son of God, here. The shepherds must have been dumbfounded at their close access to this promised king. And this is the message of the Christmas story, what we call the incarnation, which means God in the flesh. It's what the name Emmanuel means, God with us, close to us, near to us. The manger's message is this. God says, I am with you. I am not far from your situation. You don't have to be perfect and have it all together for me to come into your life, to your heart. I am willing. As we sang, he knows our need to our weakness is no stranger. Some of you maybe walked in here tonight and expected the roof maybe to fall in because you walked into a church building. You maybe thought, how in the world could God love me? Could God notice me? Look at the mess I've made of my life. But the manger tells us that God in his greatness is willing to come even into your situation, even your life, just as he came even in a manger. There's no distance he wouldn't travel to be with you. No matter what kind of season you find yourself in life, God wants to be a part of it. You may feel like you're in the winter of life. Maybe your heart feels cold and icy, like you're lost in the darkness. But tonight, God is willing to begin a work in you, to patiently come alongside you and bring you into the warmth and the light of his love. This song that the band's going to sing for you is called Seasons. And I pray that it would help you open up your heart to this God in a manger who does big and great things in small ways for those who patiently allow him to work in their lives.
Like a frost on